of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is episode 408, Aftershock Monday, and I'm going to be talking about one of the books that's going to be coming out this coming Wednesday, July 18th. Won't get into spoilers. I'm tempted to go whole hog and break down this book because it's so incredible, and I'm really excited to talk about it. But you know, I know that all of you won't have the opportunity to pick it up until Wednesday. I highly encourage you to do so, and for that reason, I won't talk about it in depth on this issue. I don't want to spoil anything. It's Lost City Explorers by writer Zach Kaplan. The art duties are handled by Alvaro Saranseca, with colors by Dee Cuniff and letters by Troy Pateri. So I've been talking about this book a lot on Aftershock Mondays, and it's just because I'm such a huge fan of Zach Kaplan. I think he's an incredible writer. I think his series, his two series over at Top Cow, Eclipse and Port of Earth, are both outstanding. And the thing about Zach's writing that really struck me, like right from the start, it's one of the hardest things to get right as a new comic writer breaking onto the scene. It's pacing. It's so hard, like, not to struggle with that and to make sure that your story hits all the right beats and you don't have issues that where the story seems to drag because you put too much of the action or too many of the story beats in the previous issue, or you're saving them for the final issue. It's a very hard thing to do. And right from the start, the first few issues of Eclipse, I was really impressed with Zach's ability to pace his story so well. And I'm finding the same thing in Port of Earth, and now the same thing again in Lost City Explorers. The one thing that I will say about those other two Top Cow books, they're absolutely incredible. The worlds that Zach has created in those, one's a dystopian future where the sun will basically kill you. And the other is set in a world where aliens have come to Earth, not in, peace or to conquer, but with a business deal. Two of the most compelling aspects of those stories are the setting, right? The world that Zach has built and inhabited with characters has become a character in and of itself. And that's great. It makes for a really interesting world, and you want to see as much of the world as you can and understand it. The biggest difference for me with his Lost City Explorers book is it's a world that we know, at least so far in the first two issues. It's a world that we know. It's New York City. It's you know, teenage kids. It's corporations. And we all understand that. We all can relate to that. It's the world that we live in. It's not foreign to us, right? That's not to say that it's not doing what some of the very best stories do, and that's taking ordinary people and putting them in extraordinary situations. So what we saw in the first issue was that Helena and her brother, I'm totally drawing a blank on his name right now. Give me a second. Let's see. Homer. That's what it is. It's Homer. They've lost their dad. Their mother died a long time ago. Their dad was killed in this, from what they were told, this experiment underground. He was an archaeologist. He was researching something, and that's what they're told, right? So these are ordinary kids, and they are put in this extraordinary position of having lost both parents. So in that way, it's like, you know, how any great story starts. But again, it's set in New York City, and so we can relate to that. And so I feel like what Zach has to do is work even harder on the interactions of the characters that were introduced to, these kids who are the Lost City Explorers. And he does an incredible job of doing that. And I imagine that the setting will become a character in and of itself when we get to where we're going. And I, you know, whether that's the Lost City of Atlantis or some extra dimension, I mean, we don't have the answers to those things yet. It's still early times, but so far the world that Zach is building has been pretty cool. And the art by Alvaro Saranseca is incredible. it certainly looks like New York City. It feels like New York City. So in that way, it's very pleasing, right? I mean, if you've been to New York, you know it has that certain feel. And in a way, it can become a character on its own. But again, it's not a foreign setting. So, you know, with this group of kids, we have Helena and Homer, who I mentioned. We have Homer's girlfriend, June, who's Muslim, yet very Americanized, very into like pop culture and social media. We have Helena, or Hel's best friend, Maddie. And then we have a new member to the team, Edwin, who's somewhat of a computer hacker, introduced in this issue too. So they make for interesting dynamics because they don't all get along necessarily. They don't all necessarily have like the same kind of goals. But they've been brought together in this situation with Homer and Hel's father, they believe missing and not actually dead. And Helena seems hell-bent on looking for her father. So the story really ratchets up in this second issue. And yeah, I can't wait to see where it goes from here. Like I said, I know I'm being kind of vague, and I'm kind of scrolling through here the review copy as I talk about it. But yeah, it's really great. And Zach's not really wasting any time getting these kids into hot water, so to speak. And I can't wait to see where the story goes from here. And again, the art by Alvaro's really well done. The interplay between the characters, the emotionality in the faces, it's all done really well. If there's any, I don't want to say any part of his art that's weak, but just anything about it where I could see room for improvement, it would be in his page layouts. The panel layouts tend to be pretty basic, so I wouldn't mind seeing him kind of vary the panel layouts just to kind of switch it up and make it a little more visually appealing. But that comes with time, you know. Not every, and it doesn't always work for every artist. So, but I do think his line work, his rendering, his transitions from panel to panel are very, very good. And he does shift the camera around the room, so to speak, and keeps our eyes from getting bored that way. So, really, really top notch work by the whole creative team. And yeah, I'm loving this book. I can't wait to see Zach later this week at San Diego and give him kudos on another very well done issue. So I hope that it's being received really well. I haven't heard any numbers on issue one yet, so I may chat with Zach about that too. I hope to have him on the podcast for a talk, so I'm sure we'll be talking a little more in detail on issue two. But it's a whole heck of a lot of fun, man. I really hope you guys are picking this up and you're picking up Eclipse, which is going to be returning next month in August, and Port of Earth, which issue seven just came out last week. So those two from Top Cow, this one from Aftershock. Great, great books, man. I mean, really, really great job from Zach. Okay, the rest of the episode, I wanted to talk about a few of the upcoming titles from Aftershock that have been announced that I haven't mentioned on the podcast. Hot Lunch Special, we just had Elliot Rahal on last week to talk about that. That one was announced May 8th, and I believe it comes out the first, or this must be the second Wednesday of August, August 8th. So don't necessarily need to go into more detail on that one. I'll just remind you that final order cutoff is today, I believe, the 16th. So as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this Monday when it comes out and you want to get Hot Lunch, you need to call your, like, pause the podcast, call your retailer right now, let them know that you want it. So, and if you want more details on that, you can go listen to the episode from last Thursday the Hot Lunch Special Spotlight. The next book I want to mention that's coming out soon, this one has me pretty excited. I already pre-ordered it. It's Volition number one, and it comes out on August 15th. It's written by Ryan Parrott. We have art by Omar. It's either Francia or Francia. It's F-R-A-N-C-I-A. He handles the colors as well. And then we have letters by Marshall Dillon. And I'll just read this list for you. In a not-too-distant future, artificial intelligence has spawned a race of robots that serve all of humanity. Robots are considered second-class citizens, but a few in the AI community are fighting back in a constant struggle for equal rights. When a debilitating virus called Rust threatens all artificial life, salvation lies in the most unlikely of robotic heroes. Not a warrior or a soldier, but in an obsolete construction worker and a dedicated caregiver. Together, Hale 19 and Amber 7T embark on a perilous journey in search of a cure that could potentially change the balance of power on Earth forever. The next bold adventure from Aftershock Comics begins here. I'm kind of a sucker for AI stories. I love like iRobot from Isaac Asimov. Both the book and the movie, which is the movie's quite a bit different than the book with Will Smith, but I loved both. And I think it's always a topic worth exploring, right? It's kind of looking at artificial intelligence as a stand-in for humanity, or kind of the different aspects of humanity, or different genders or races or social classes, you know, whatever it might be. It's just the next person to get persecuted, right? And so while, if I'm honest, I do, you know, fear the repercussions and consequences of AI. Maybe I've seen Terminator one too many times, and I think it's a very dangerous and slippery slope. In theory, and you know, and in fiction, if you're talking about robots that have those, you know, built-in three laws with Isaac Asimov, then yeah, you would hope that they would not harm, and they would be more of a help than a hindrance. But it's always an interesting concept to think about. And, you know, really hoping that this Volition is gives us something new on the take, you know, because we've seen this story told many times before. So it's always good when we have new writers, new voices, looking at a concept that's been explored before, but they bring their own experience and uniqueness to the story. I'd be very, very interested to see if that's the case with Volition. All right, let's see. The next new Aftershock title that I want to talk about is called Moth and Whisper Number One. It's from writer Ted Anderson. The art is by Jen Hickman. Letters by Marshall Dillon. So everyone knows that the two greatest thieves in the city are the Moth and the Whisper. Very few know that the Moth and the Whisper disappeared 6 months ago, and what nobody knows is that the new Moth and Whisper are actually one person pretending to be both of them, one supremely skilled but uncertain young gender-fluid thief, Nikki, the child of the Moth and the Whisper. Nikki has been trained by their parents in the arts of stealth and infiltration, but they're still just a teenager, and now they're alone, searching for their parents in a hostile cyberpunk dystopia. Corporations run the streets while crime lords like Ambrose Wolfe run the alleys. Identity is a commodity and privacy is impossible. The truth about Nikki's parents and their disappearance is out there, but can Nikki survive long enough to find it? A young adult cyberpunk thriller starring a gender queer super thief, Moth and Whisper is the brainchild of Ted Anderson and Jen Hickman. And it's a story that just had to be told at Aftershock. This one I'm less sure about. The premise sounds sort of interesting, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of cyberpunk necessarily. So, yeah, I'm just not sure. I mean, it's Aftershock, and, you know, in Mike Martz, I trust. So I'm going to get the first issue. I'm going to try it out. But yeah, there's just some things about it that I don't know. You know, like one person masquerading as both their mom and their dad. I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where I'll have to wait and see. I am a sucker for heist stories, so if there's some really good heist scenes in it, I may get sucked in. But I'll definitely be checking it out because, as I said, it is Aftershock. But I'm not sure what to expect with this one, more so than a lot of the other newer titles. Like Volition, yeah, I can kind of understand. You know, I've seen the story before. I want something unique and different with it. But here I have something new and unique, and I'm complaining about it, right? Yeah, it's not really fair. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, you know, looking at the artwork, reading the solicit, this one didn't really excite me that much. But as I said, it's Aftershock, so I'll definitely be checking it out and let you know what my thoughts are for sure. So, all right, let's see. The next new Aftershock title that I want to mention is The Patient, or Patience, Conviction, Revenge. Like Patience, exclamation point. Conviction, exclamation point. Revenge, exclamation point. This one doesn't come out until September 19th. It's written by Patrick Kindlin, I think is how you say the name. The art is by Marco Ferrari. Colors by Patrizia Camino, with letters by Jim Campbell. So disregarded, disrespected, and dismissed, Rennie has a chip on his shoulder. Once an equal partner in a crime syndicate that ruled Las Vegas, he now finds himself in a shack in the desert. But the shack has a workshop, and Rennie's been busy. It's time to march his robot army into the neon hell of a cyberpunk Vegas and retake his seat at the table. Or take the wood from the table and build enough caskets for the whole syndicate. Old friends better run, because Operation Patience, Conviction, Revenge is underway. Like an Elmore Leonard novel set in the world of Blade Runner, Patience, Conviction, Revenge is offbeat and often funny, but all about the dark corners of cities and minds. A violent criminal genius with a bad case of monomania makes for the most fun you'll have with a comic this year. So I'm really, really looking forward to this one. I mean, Elmore Leonard, set in the world of Blade Runner, that's such a specific and yet very easy to understand mashup, right? So this one, yeah, I'm not sure about that title, but other than that, I'm definitely in. I'm kind of a sucker for bad guy on bad guy kind of stuff, you know, like this guy's been wronged by his former business partners, you know, other guys in the syndicate. If any of you ever saw, what was the name of the movie with Mel Gibson, Payback? That was the same kind of thing, right? It was a guy who, you know, was a criminal, and he got like double crossed by other criminals, and then went out and basically wreaked havoc and got his revenge and ended up with the money and the girl. So yeah, I'm definitely in for this one. Not sure what to think about. He goes into a shack in the desert and builds a robot army. Like it was sounding like old school, like Vegas mobster revenge kind of story, to start with. Like maybe something starring like Lee Marvin or Charles Bronson. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, Robot Army and Cyberpunk Vegas. So that's going to be interesting for sure. But that's one I'm looking forward to. Just because, again, I don't know what to expect. But, you know, when you say Elmore Leonard and Blade Runner, all of a sudden I have a very clear idea of what to expect. Whether it lives up to that expectation, whether or not that's an accurate description is another story altogether, but I guess we'll see. All right, the next book I'm going to mention comes out on the 2nd of October. It's from Adam and Aiden Glass. The art is by Diego Yapur, and colors are by Sal Cipriano. So what's really, really cool about this book, a lot of you may know the name Adam Glass. What you may not know is Aiden Glass is Adam's 14-year-old son. So this is an idea that Adam and Aiden came up with together, father and son. So Adam's writing it, but they both came up with the idea together and broke the series out. And it's just awesome, right? That Adam's getting a chance to work with his son to develop a story and see it in the pages of a comic. And, you know, I liked what Adam did on Suicide Squad New 52. I really enjoyed his recent series at Aftershock, Rough Riders. And so I'm very curious to see when he collaborates with his son. You know, when you work with somebody, it's tough at times, right? Collaboration and back and forth and give and take. Put those people under the same roof. Some may say there are positives to that. Some may say there are negatives. You start talking about father-son, that's a whole nother dynamic, but it's a very close relationship, more so than like a husband and wife, right? In that, I would think that Aiden has a lot of the values that Aiden has at that age are values that his parents have instilled in him, right? And so they're coming at it from a very similar perspective, but yet they're kind of a different generation, right? They're not really the same generation. So that leads to like differences in ideas and ways to tell stories. And I imagine Aiden has to be really excited about this. So he's also bringing like a youthful energy. So I'm really, really excited to see what these two can do together. The name of the book is Lollipop Kids. When immigrants came to the New World, they didn't only bring their hopes and dreams, they also brought their monsters. Years ago, early settlers locked these monsters away in a secret prison deep in the woods of New Amsterdam so they could never return to the old world again. Those woods have since become Central Park, and now the monsters have escaped. Nick, a 14-year-old Harlem resident, finds out there is a legacy to a secret society that for the last 400 years has kept these monsters in check. Now Nick and a ragtag group of kids just like him have to put the monsters back before they get out of the park and destroy the city. So an intriguing idea, a fun idea, again, a youthful story, probably with a lot of youthful energy, and it just sounds like a whole heck of a lot of fun, to be honest with you. Haven't seen much artwork for this one, unfortunately. But again, it is still early days. As I mentioned, it doesn't come out until October. But really looking forward to seeing what Aiden and his dad, Adam, have for us. All right, let's see the next book. I think there's one more. Yep, this just got announced this last week. This may be the one I'm most excited about. It's called The Last Space Race. It comes out on October 9th. It's from writer Peter Calloway with art by Alex Shibao, I want to say, S-H-I-B-A-O. Colors by Natalia Marquez, and letters are by Marshall Dillon. It started as an anomaly, an outlier in the noise that's so common in astronomical data, but the truth sends the United States and the world careening into what will become humanity's last space race. Leading the effort for the United States is one man, Sasha Baladis, a fun-loving tech billionaire turned aerospace titan. Sasha's seemingly perfect life has been gripped by recent tragedy, building and launching the most expensive, most ambitious, and most important project in history. Well, it gives him something to live for again. There's only one thing standing in his way, his arch-rival and chief aerospace competitor, Roger Freeman. So basically what's happening is there's been a massive object the size of Manhattan that's been detected entering the solar system. It isn't a threat, supposed to harmlessly sail in and out near orbit of Saturn. But then mysteries start piling up. It's not affected by Saturn, by the gravity of Saturn. The infrared signature is brighter than it should be. And when the Hubble telescope finally gets a high-res picture, the truth comes out. It's a massive alien spaceship. but it doesn't respond to any attempts at communication. So who built it? Why is it here? What does it want? What's its purpose? And perhaps most important, how many technological secrets can be learned by the first ones to get there? So that's what launches humanity's last space race, right? We've got these two titans of private aerospace, and there's all this technology out there to be had. I guess they're assuming that the spaceship is empty because no one's answering the hails. So it looks really, really great. And I wasn't familiar with Alex Chabot before I got this email about this new book, but I did take a look at the artwork and it looks awfully good. And I went and Googled Alex to take a look at some of his previous work. And yeah, this guy's no slouch. So this is going to be a gorgeous looking book for sure. And just based on the logo, and it sounds so silly, that would be so excited for a book just based on the logo, right? But the logo reminds me so much of kind of the font style of Battlestar Galactica or maybe Buck Rogers. It just has that feel. And so right away, I'm getting this 80s sci-fi, you know, exploring the great unknown kind of feel. And I'm really excited for this book. Like I said, the upcoming titles from Aftershock, and some of them sound awfully good. This is my number one draft pick right here. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Unfortunately, it's the one that's the furthest out. We're, 5 months? No, 3 months away, right? August, September. Yep. About 3 months away from having it in our hands. So I'm sure we'll have Peter on the show for an Aftershock Monday before then to talk about it in a little more detail. But yeah, that's the one that has me most excited. So anyway, I hope that one or two or all of these upcoming titles from Aftershock have you intrigued. I know a lot of you listeners who listen to Aftershock Monday are big fans of the company, just as I am, and understand that what Joe and Mike and Lee do is really look for the best stories from not only name creators, but up-and-coming creators. And I think the vast majority of books that have come out from Aftershock have been really, really good. So I know you share my excitement with some of these titles that that are coming up. And hit me up. Shoot me an email or let me know on social media what you're most excited for that's coming up from Aftershock in these next 3 months. So as always, I want to thank you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever platform you use, and subscribe. Please tell your friends about us. Also, ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new readers, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. All episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. And while you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Quick reminder, in just a couple days' time, I will be in San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con, trying to get all the episodes that are supposed to go out the week of Comic-Con recorded and produced and up for you, so we don't miss any, because it's going to be hard to produce episodes while I'm in San Diego. It's easy to record content, but much harder to produce and do all the graphics for the website and all that kind of stuff. So trying to get all that stuff done ahead of time, and we're looking pretty good. That being said, I would love to meet any of you listeners who are going to be at San Diego. So if you are going to be there, hit me up on social media. Let me know. Love to meet up with you, grace you with a Comic Source lanyard, and find out what you like about the show, what you don't like, take a picture, throw it up on social media, all that kind of good stuff. So really looking forward to Comic-Con this year. I'm going to be busier than ever, literally running from place to place, doing interviews, covering panels. It's going to be quite the whirlwind, but it's always a good time to be with like-minded people who love comics as much as I do, as well as see all the creator friends that I don't get to see except for maybe once or twice a year. So be sure you're following us on Instagram for all the coverage and pictures of cosplay and all that kind of great stuff. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.